Thank you. Welcome back to our study of Philippians. We are in chapter 4, and we had just finished reading verse 9, but we're going to go back to verse 8 of chapter 4. We had a question that was presented, and so it's we think it would be a good thing for us to talk about this question and see if we can't get some clarity. And so in thinking about verse 8 of chapter 4, we mentioned first session that you could consider this as almost a filtration system, if you will, for our thoughts. So here's the question. What do we do when we come to Scripture, when we come to the Word of God, and that Word of God isn't necessarily a positive Scripture? Now, there is an example that we could look at in Matthew chapter 10. But just with that general question, what do we do when the Scripture isn't necessarily a positive Scripture?
Okay, first off, the Scripture is always positive. Okay, so we're going to clarify this, but it's not always pleasant.
Pleasant, okay. That's a good
All right.
one.
That's,
okay,
there's
that's
a
good one.
All right, here's what we have to realize. The Scripture was given by Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not by natural. And so we have to keep a distinction between the natural and the Spirit, okay? And so there's a lot of things in the Scripture that is certainly not pleasant and appealing to the natural man. But those instructions are positive, because it benefits the spirit man. Now, I want to go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, and let's read the Scripture, and then we'll go from there. But and then I'm reading this out of the King James Version. Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Now, here's a good rule of thumb. You always ask yourself who's talking and to whom is he talking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jesus obviously is doing the speaking here, and who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his apostles, the 12, right before he sends them out to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom of God. And so he tells them to go from one city to the other, telling them. He's already putting everything up front. If they persecute you in this city, you understand? A lot of people have the idea that there's no persecution comes. Well, that's a false statement, okay? He says go to the next city. Don't focus on the persecution. Focus on the gospel. You keep preaching the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead. They run you out of town, go to the next town, do the same thing. And then when he comes to this area, he said, let me back up. He says, if they've called the master Beelzebub, the prince of demons, what do you think they're going to call the house? His servants, you know. The servant's not greater than the master. And so he goes on to say, don't be afraid of those who can harm the body. Get your mind off of the body. Get your mind off of the natural man. Keep your mind on the spirit man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you keep your mind on the spirit man. You fear the one who has control of both the outside and the inside, the internal man and external man. Okay? And so when we talk about a filtration system, if you will, we're not saying that everything is going to be positive and pleasant to the flesh. Okay? But what we're saying is for the spirit. Okay? Now, where does thinking come? The thinking does not come out of the natural man. The thinking comes out of the spirit man. Right? Your mind's not your brain. Your brain's a physical organ. But the soul of man and the spirit of man are eternal. They make up the heart. Okay? And so we've learned that in the soul, you have the mind, will, and emotions. And so the thinking is actually in the soul. So Satan's vying by using the body to put thoughts into the mind. And God speaks straight to the heart. The legal entry is the door. Remember, anything that doesn't come through the door is a thief and a robber, right? So God will deal with the true person, the you. Satan will deal with the house you dwell in to try to influence the occupant of the house. Okay, we have to keep that distinction. And so what we're saying is, if thoughts come at you, then whatever that thought is, then you are comparing that thought to the Scriptures. Rather than fearing man, rather than fearing circumstances, you fear God. You know, as a matter of fact, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge, is the fear of God. And so when we say that we're to control our thinking, we're to think like Jesus thought. We have the mind of Christ. Isn't that what Paul tells us? We have the mind of Christ. Now, how did Jesus think? You look at the opposition and the unpleasant things that Jesus faced, even before the crucifixion, the rejection. They even attempted to murder him before the crucifixion. And all the persecution that he received from religion, you understand, that is trying to discredit him, slander him, destroy a reputation. But here's how you keep that from being destroyed. Don't build one. He made himself of no reputation. People today try to make themselves his reputation, and it works against them, okay? And so he's kept his mind always on the Father. I always do what I see the Father do. I judge or make my decisions by what I hear the Father say. So he's never operating independently of God. Everything that comes at him, he's comparing to the Word of God. For instance, Matthew chapter 4 in the wilderness, or Luke 4, that when Jesus is led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, he counters the temptations with the Scripture. The thought comes. You're hungry. You have power. You the Son of God. Then turn the stone into bread. Feed yourself. He doesn't dwell on the natural man. By not dwelling on the natural man and thinking by the Word of God, he just counters and says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how he countered Satan. That's how we counter Satan. You with me? This is what we're talking about, filtering with the Word of God. Does it follow? Everything's not going to match verbatim the wording of Scripture. But there is a principle in the Scripture, embedded in the Scripture, there is a principle. Does this violate the principle, or does this agree with the principle? Is this a spiritual thing, or is this a natural thing? I need to keep the natural in subjection to the Spirit. And so when he says, don't fear what they can do to the body, that's just the house. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You with me? And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, the interesting thing about this is most of these apostles were murdered. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to get a persecution complex and just desire to be killed for the glory of God. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if it comes down to choosing God or the flesh, choose God. Now look at Peter before conversion. Peter went with the flesh. He tried to save his hide. Oh, you're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. Why would he say that? Because Jesus is on trial and they're getting ready to murder him. He's not wanting to be murdered with him. You know, I like you, but. You understand? So he's thinking naturally. After the day of Pentecost, he didn't think naturally. And he actually is a martyr for Jesus. You look at all the apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane. Every one of them ran. Why? He's thinking flesh. If I stay here, they're going to capture me and probably kill me. So we're going to run for our life, the natural life. And so we have to keep a distinction between flesh and spirit. Now, the sad part is we're taught from the time we're born, we're taught to look at the flesh. Most people look at you and think they see you. You don't see me. You see the house I live in. Okay? And so just because you destroy the house doesn't mean you affected me at all. Mama used to call it a shortcut to glory. You know, that's the way she referred to dying, okay? Just a shortcut to glory. Because we're going to live forever. And so, in order for that to occur, we can't be dominated by the flesh in this life. We must be led by the Spirit to where the Spirit's dominating our life. Now, the Holy Spirit will always lead you in agreement with the Word of God. Every one of us can probably testify to the fact that we have had opportunity, temptations, to follow the flesh rather than the Spirit. And I'm not talking about doing gross sins. I'm talking about dismissing God. I'm talking about going and pastoring another church that God hasn't told you to go to. You with me? What is? That's a temptation to yield to the flesh because it looks good to the flesh. Sounds good to the flesh. And you'll be making more money than you've ever made. And you'll have this and this and this. All that's flesh. I am absolutely amazed at the ministers that go to churches that God did not tell them to go to. Circumstances, situations. And I have a hard time relating to that. I've been the overseer of two churches, and both of them, God specifically spoke to me. Otherwise, you couldn't have paid me to go. I didn't want to. That's not the issue. So this is what we're talking about when we say filter everything through our thinking, and our thinking is to agree with the Scriptures. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, make sure that these thoughts line up. Now let me go back to the lovely. That's a mistranslation. It's acceptable, not lovely. Everything that touches your life is not lovely. I promise you that. You understand? But is it acceptable to God? I'm going to tell you, I've been through a place, I'm talking about major rejection. But yet, that was what God's will was for me to be there, to suffer through the rejection. It was the will of God. The flesh hated it. But are you going to yield to the flesh? Or are you going to yield to the Spirit of God? You have to choose. And I can tell you this, I laid in the floor of that church begging God. But He didn't listen to me. You ever been there? So I couldn't get a release. Now what am I going to do? Am I just going to say, well, I'll just do my thing? Or am I going to stay where God put me until the release comes? And I'm going to tell you, the release came after the rejection. It was like the weight of the world lifted off of me. But Satan would use the rejection to try to beat you up in days to come. You understand? This is why you can't concern yourself with what people think about you. You have to be delivered from the people or you'll miss God. If you're thinking about the people, you won't be thinking about the true, honest, just, pure, level, all the, you won't be thinking about those things. You're going to be thinking about, do you know, are they going to like me? Are they not going to like me? And I'm going to tell you the most liberating thing in the world is just learn to like yourself. Be you. God likes me. Why shouldn't I? But isn't it amazing? God made us and we want to change our looks. I don't understand all this cosmetic surgery and all this other stuff. People don't like themselves. And I'm not talking about just, you know, glutton and being arrogant and all this type of thing. I don't mean that at all. I mean, when you get to the point that you see yourself as God sees you, you don't try to be like anybody else. And it's a very liberating thing. And so what you're doing is you're trying to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Do we ever make mistakes? Of course. We make mistakes. But you know what we do? We try to learn by our mistakes. You don't lay and wallow in it. I used to listen to my Sunday morning messages on Monday and put my head on a desk and cry. I didn't like it. But I learned a long time ago that even though I strive for perfection, I haven't gotten there. I made a mistake Sunday. Heard it last night when I listened to it. Well, you can wallow in it, or you can move on, and you just learn from it. Nothing earth-shaking, nothing devastating, nothing's going to affect anybody's spiritual life. I just don't like to make the mistakes, okay? So, we have to keep our thinking right. If you don't keep your thinking right, those things right there will take you into depression. There's been many a minister that's ended up under psychiatric treatment because he did not use this filter. He's thinking on negative things. He's not thinking in agreement with the Word of God. What do you do when you, like Jeremiah, look at this man, look at Ezekiel, look at Isaiah. Men that God's called, they go out, they say the Word of God, and everybody hates them. Put you in dungeon, try to kill you, try to slander you, do all kinds of things. Then you have to make a choice. The next time God speaks, am I going to listen to God? Am I going to pet the flesh and feel sorry for me? Or will I give my life for the one who gave his life for me? And see, we've got to get to that point. And when I say give your life, you have to give up your self-life. I'm not talking about necessarily physically dying, although many are doing it daily, being killed for their stand for Christ. They have a choice. They can deny Jesus and live, or they can stand with Jesus and die. I can follow the flesh, or I can follow the Spirit. And all these things is saying is, filter everything through the Spirit. This word is spiritual, mm-hmm. not natural. Remember what Jesus said in the 6th chapter of John? The words that I'm speaking are spirit and life. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and it blew him away. They thinking naturally. He's not thinking naturally. And so when we approach the Word of God, we have to learn that this is a spiritual thing. And spiritual things are spiritually discerned. We can't naturally understand God. We can read it and read it and read it and not know what it says. But when the Holy Spirit brings that thing alive, it ceases to be a letter on the page and it becomes a living word on the inside of you. Now you're hearing God talk to you through the Scriptures rather than you telling the Scriptures what they say. And that's where so many people are today. And so this is a spiritual filter to keep the spirit man in control of the natural man. You remember in our last session we talked about in 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians a first Adam and a final Adam and a first man and a second man. Jesus ended the natural race for all who walk in the Spirit. In other words, He made a provision to put you back into that innocent state, no sin in your life. That's why 1 John 5 says that if you're truly born again, there's no sin in you. He's not talking about natural man. He's talking about the spirit man. You have the nature of Jesus in you. There's no sin in the nature of Jesus. But if you start thinking naturally, you start calling yourself an old sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but I'm not a sinner now. I've been saved by grace. If I'm saved, I'm a saint. And you have to tell yourself that, because I'm telling you, the devil will bombard you with negative thoughts to try to take you in a wrong direction. And the Lord is, few months, the Lord has really been emphasizing to me the importance of right thinking. Because you go where you think. You can think yourself happy. You can think yourself mad. You know, I could stare at you and you say, I wonder what he's thinking about me. I've actually stared at people before just trying to hear the Spirit of God and not even see them. I mean, I know they're there, but I'm not even thinking about that person. No, tell me, why is he staring at me? Why is this? That's natural thinking. That's natural thinking. You have to get on top of that immediately, or you can start getting resentment and all these other things. So he's telling us, think spiritually. Don't think naturally. That's your filter. Renew your mind to think spiritually, and you won't think naturally. But we've been taught that naturally, right? And God said, no. Be spiritual people. Be spiritual people. Don't let the house run your life. You live in it, you take control of it. You tell the house what to do, don't let the house tell you what to do. Okay? You want to say some things to that?
I appreciate the question because I can wholeheartedly relate. And that there was a time, and I've been so open with you all about this and transparent, when I would read the Word of God and it was not a good report to me. Especially when I would read in the Old Testament and I'd think, man, he's going to do that to them. What's he going to do to me? I mean, really?
That's on me, right?
Yeah, like I am marked. Not a good way. But the difference and the pivotal moment in my life is once I received the Holy Spirit, then I could be that person that Jesus would say, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. I didn't have ears before. I couldn't understand. And I'm going to tell y'all, and because it was so profound to me, and I hope and I pray that you have an experience like this too. And I'm so grateful that this was the experience I had when I was reading in Exodus. All of a sudden, those words jumped off the page. The Lord is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Well, somebody with all those characteristics isn't looking to zap me. Lightning is not going to strike me dead. And so then I was able to start reading from that filtration of love, if you will. And so that to me only came because of my union with the Holy Spirit, who gave me revelation of that. He's the teacher. He was the one that actually led me into the truth of, no, you're off base. You don't really understand who God is. Let me reveal this to you so you know Him. And so I even look here in Philippians in chapter 4, the verse right before, in verse 7, when we read the peace of God which passes all understanding. Well, first of all, we know that peace is fruit of the Spirit, right? This peace that is going to keep my heart and my mind, that is developed, that as as a product of union with the Holy Spirit. That's produced because of my union with Him. And so because of my union with Him, because the Holy Spirit dwells in me, to be quite fair, for me personally, I do not have the natural capability to filter things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, or praise without the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because I know this from personal experience. I tried to do it on my own for years and years, and I always came up short, and I couldn't do it. I mean, I was the girl that when the kingdom of God was mentioned, I was thinking castles and tiaras and robes and gowns. That was me. I did not have spiritual eyes to see or spiritual ears to hear. So how could I identify what was really true, what was really honest, what was really just and pure? And all of these, you understand? So to me, this filtration system is more about the Holy Spirit. It's more about the Holy Spirit dominating, allowing Him to rise up in me and say, okay, Heather, that doesn't align with me. Let's cast that one out. I'm going to tell you, as sure as we got to the very first one true, as I was standing right here, I had a thought that came to me, a very condemning thought. It wasn't true. But I had to cast that sucker down. It took me a second or two, but I had to cast it down, you understand? But my point about it is this. I understand the question about being the Word of God being pleasing, if you will. What was the word? Pleasant. There was a time in my life before the Holy Spirit that this was not a pleasant word to me, and I would run from it. I wasn't willing to submit. But now, I have a different testimony. And so when we read in Matthew, what I hear with the tail end of that is fear God. I have a reverential fear of Him. I'm not scared of the Father because I stand justified before Him because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so when I hear that now, I think, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this body may die, but I'm never going to die. I don't have to fear man anymore, and I thank you, Lord. But that's spiritual ears and spiritual eyes.
If you think about it, God is speaking to the real person. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear.
Yes.
Now, it's not that people were standing out there in the crowd without ears, physical ears. What he's saying is, those who are listening with the heart, not up here, but at gut level, listen to what I'm saying. Now, I want you to think about this. This Bible is spiritual, but it's generally viewed as natural.
Mm-hmm.
It's viewed as a book. We call it history. We call it law. We call it poetry. We call it prophecy. We call it various things. All those things natural. Not understanding that this is God's word to humanity. God's word to humanity. But in order for humanity to hear that, it won't be with these ears. Your heart has to be open to hear the Lord. I grew up in church, and I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't hear God. I heard preachers. I heard people. I heard Sunday school teachers. But I really wasn't hearing God. That's why I was a heathen. You know, you can grow up in church and be a heathen. And then you can get out of church and be a worse heathen. But thank God that God deals with you. You follow me. But what does He deal with? Not your head. It's right down here. He deals with the inner man. He makes this legal entry down here. And so we have to come to the understanding that we're spiritual beings. We're actually spiritual beings. And so, you know, Heather mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. That doesn't come out of the natural man. It's manifested through the natural man. But you can't have the manifestation unless the fruit's inside. I promise you, an apple tree can't produce an apple unless the ingredients are inside the tree. And then the tree is just producing out of it, and you see it naturally. It's the same way our spirit and the Holy Spirit in union is called fruit of the Spirit, not fruit of the body. Fruit of the body is people, babies. Mm-hmm. No, we're talking about fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said there's no law against those things. You don't need a law against those things. You're thinking right, you're doing right. If you're producing the fruit of the Spirit, you don't need anybody to tell you what not to do. You don't need anybody to tell you what to do. You're being led by the Spirit of God. You're doing what pleases God. You're thinking right. You understand? You're thinking right. But it's going to come out of the inside. And then note that we have to reprogram our thinking. Just think of the brain as a memory bank of a computer, the hard drive of a computer. The processor's a working mechanism. That stuff goes in and stores in that hard drive. Your brain has tons of stuff stored in it from the time you were born. You follow me? And I'll guarantee you it's not all good. And it's not all true. And it's not all acceptable. Or just, or honest. So what do? We start studying the Bible. We read the Bible. We study the Bible. And we see a truth there that counters things that we've been taught or programmed in the past. And so what we have to do is take this word and supersede the word that's been put in there before. That just simply means that we make that former word obsolete. So we don't draw off of this information, we draw off of this information. We're getting our thinking right. Now, it's progressive. It's progressive. Your new birth was instant. You understand? When you got saved, you got saved. But I promise you, your thinking didn't get saved. And so that's a work in progress. As long as we live, that's a work in progress. But if you don't read and put the Word of God and study the Word of God and get it on the inside of you, you're not going to get your mind renewed to where you're thinking like your nature. And if you don't think like that nature, guess which nature you think like? You think like that old Adamic nature. So what do? You do what Adam did. You follow me? Rather than what Jesus did. But when we get this Word in us, we'll start thinking like Jesus thought. And so when you think right, you talk right, and you act right. When you don't think right, you don't talk right, and you don't act right, and we've all witnesses of it. And I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about ourselves. Okay? And so we get our minds renewed with the Word of God to where that thought doesn't agree with the Scripture. I've been praying and had thoughts to come at me, ungodly stuff. And I mean, that's not God. I can't tell you the number of times I've prayed, and all of a sudden, I was like, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. You're wasting your time. You know what you do? Nope, I won't go through the filter. That's not what the Word says. No. He's called me. I didn't call me into the ministry. That wasn't on my mind. I know when God spoke to me. You understand? And so I go back to that and I hold on to that word. My faith is in that word that was spoken to me in 1984. I hold on to that word. In other words, that God's spoken to me. You have to hold on to that, or people would get you to move from that and try to get you to fulfill a dream they have rather than staying true to the word that God gave you. And when I say talking about the capturing thoughts, I'm not talking about perversion and all that type stuff. I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's included. I'm talking about things that will cause you to miss the will of God. And the greatest thing that will keep you from doing the will of God is religious people. The church that should be leading you into the will of God will keep you from doing the will of God. Ask Jesus. They crucified him. But he kept his thinking in agreement with God and laid that body down. But how many of you know he's alive? Absolutely. And when they laid this body down, you say I'm dead if you want to, but you don't know what you're talking about. And I'll be very much alive. Amen? We're spirit people. God's wanting us to think by the Spirit and the Word, not by natural situations and circumstances. Okay? All right, I've been signaled time's up, so I'll stop. And we didn't even get through this thing.
No.
Wow, okay. We'll come back. We'll finish this little short book one day. Okay? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. You give us peace. But Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you, flee before you. All right, you guys have a great week. And we plan to be back here Thursday.